Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And the devil has stolen some truths that the first church understood, that maybe some of you understood to a degree when you were a new believer. And I'm talking specifically about the power of confessing God's word, meditation. But this has been taken to a whole new level by Rabbi Jonathan Burness. And he has a beautiful, I mean, it's just like a high-quality coffee table book. Why did you make this so beautiful, Jonathan? Seriously.
I wanted it to be a keepsake. I wanted it to be something that people kept on their table so that they became so that they're a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I want this to be it's a workbook, but I also want it to be attractive so they can keep it out as part of their devotional materials with their leather-bound Bible or whatever.
Okay, look, I understand why we should be meditating and confessing God's word on healing. That's called a non-brainer, a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
However, why do this in Hebrew?
Well, there's a few reasons. First of all, God reveals, I said this yesterday, his character, his very nature through numerous Hebrew names in Scripture. When we dig into the original Hebrew, we gain insight and revelation into who God is, what he's provided for us, the benefits available to us that we can't grasp as fully or as deeply in the English or any other language.
Well, you know what I'm reminded of? The rabbis can take one Hebrew word and break it down into its individual letters and come up with such long commentaries on what God is saying. So by saying it in the Hebrew, you are supernaturally compressing all the blessing that God has in these promises.
And that's deep. Think about that. That you meditate on that whole idea. And also that in the spoken word, we have creative power. God created the universe. He created man. He created light and darkness, the land, birds, on and on, through the spoken word. God said, "Let there be," and there was. The creative force of the word of God said, and I think this is what separates us in one dimension from every other creation of God, that we have the ability to speak with articulate speech and actually be a creative force with our mouth. And by the way, that's what Proverbs says, there's life and death in the power of the tongue.
And you know, I think we all need to be reminded of that. There is such power in the spoken word. Sometimes I think, Jonathan, I'm better off not saying anything.
And we are sometimes.
Unless there is power. I'm better off only thinking things that are good and pure and lovely of good and good report. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, because it's going to come out of his mouth. That goes back to what you're teaching on the heart-mouth connection.
Yeah, I believe in this so strongly. And if I can rewind to my salvation experience, because it all ties to this, 31 years ago, even further, I'm in high school, and I'm going to this group called Young Life, and I'm hearing about Jesus, this man who could walk on water, heal the sick, raise the dead. So the seed's being planted without me even knowing it. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word's getting into me, but I'm resistant whenever people try to share with me because I'm Jewish, and we both know Jews don't believe in Jesus. I forward now to college, to university. This friend has been saved, and she's witnessing to me day and night. I go to a Bible study with her, and I'm put on the pressure cooker. Okay, I'm being confronted by this Bible study leader to pray to receive Jesus, and my mind is saying, "No way, I'm not interested. I just want to get out of here. I'm sweating. I'm uncomfortable." He's pushing. You know what happens if you leave tonight and you get hit by a car? Where are you going to go? So to appease him, finally, to get all this pressure off me, I pray with him to receive Jesus, okay? And my mind is just rebelling. This is garbage. I'm not interested in this at all. I go home and I try to forget the whole thing, but something happened, Sid. I woke up the next day, and all during that week I had this desire, unquenchable desire, in fact, to read the Bible for the first time. And as I did, my life was changed. But it all goes back to the hearing of the Word of God back in as a high school student and then praying that prayer. What had happened, Sid, is the reality of Romans 10, 9 and 10 took hold. What does it say? It says that if we believe in our heart, not our mind, in our heart, that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, and confess this with our mouth, we shall be saved. I call this the heart-mouth relationship. What had happened was the word had been planted in my heart, not in my mind, but in my heart. And when that Bible study leader pushed me to pray that prayer, I released what was already in my heart, and it really did change my life that night 31 years ago. Sid, I believe that this is not just true of salvation, which is the context of Romans 10, 9 and 10, but it's true of the way we appropriate every promise of God. I'm talking about healing. I'm talking about deliverance.
But
I'm talking
course,
about
the
divine
word,
provision.
The word salvation, sozo, in the Greek, means all of the above.
It does indeed. And the principle is that with the heart, man believes, and with the mouth, confession is made unto. So with the heart, we believe unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, we believe. When we believe in health and healing, the mouth confesses it. It becomes a reality unto. Deliverance, divine provision, all of the blessings of God are appropriated this way, through belief in the heart and confession with the mouth.
You know, when you were reading the other day about Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, would you read that again? Because that says it all, the value of meditation.
I will. And what I love about this, Sid, Joshua is being prepared by the Lord himself to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And it's a promise for success and prosperity. Now, how many listening want success and prosperity? Then you do what God instructed Joshua to do. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or left, that you might be successful wherever you go. How? Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You know what it said? I looked up that word meditate in the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And it means something very different than the idea of Christian meditation that I've been taught, which is to reflect with the mind, which I think is great value. The revelation of God's word through meditation by contemplation. But the word used here is a different Hebrew word. It's the word haggah. And it literally means not reflection with the mind, but with the mouth, to rehearse the word of God in speech, to speak, to talk, to utter, or to mutter. In other words, confession. How do you prosper? How are you successful? By confession of the word day and night, not letting it depart from your lips. And Sid, I've found the reality of this in my own life. It's been life transforming for me.
Well, what I find is, if someone tells a lie long enough, they pass a point where they actually, even though it started as a lie, they actually believe it. What if someone spoke the truth of God's word in reference to healing in the original language that Jesus used, a supernatural language called Hebrew that was just restored when Israel became a modern-day nation? How much more will we believe that as believe a lie? And it's not just the promises in English. It's the promises with all the depth and the nuances and the meanings of that Hebrew.
And the power, Sid. The power of the original language that the scriptures were written in, Hebrew.
Explain to me this package we're making available. I have never seen you so excited about a concept.
I am very excited about
this. I know
that. Because, and God really used you to bring me into this truth, Sid. It was like being born again. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. How do we get faith? By confessing the Word of God, by getting it into our spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the Hebrew dimension I'm so excited about, because our job as Messianic Jews is to bring the Jewish roots of the faith back to the church so that they can provoke the Jewish people to jealousy, our people. One way is Hebrew. Very few people listening have studied Hebrew. It's a hard language. I was in Hebrew school most of my early life. I wasn't a very great student. And I had to employ a method, in fact, later on in life, that I use in this book. It's called transliteration. It very simply this, without any education, without any study, without any preparation, I can have someone confessing the scriptures on healing in perfect Hebrew within 5 minutes.
Now that's a miracle.
There's a challenge for you. This workbook is designed for people that don't want to spend 3 months or 6 months of their life learning Hebrew. You open the book, you put in a CD that has a Sabra, a native Hebrew speaker, confessing the scriptures that I've compiled on the healing promises of God, health, wholeness, restoration. And you see it in the Hebrew, you see it in English, but you follow along and confess with the narrator the Hebrew language using this principle, this method of transliteration, and immediately you're learning the Hebrew healing scriptures from day one.
I'm just curious, how did this idea explode in you? It's an amazing concept that you've put together.
It really came through doing programs on our television program with a Hebrew speaker talking about the power of the Hebrew language, the restoration of the language of Hebrew, and it just caught fire with me. Every Hebrew character said is power-packed.
And that's what you're doing. You're saying a scripture on healing, and that's power-packed. Then you're doing it in pronouncing it yourself in Hebrew, and that has even more depth of power than you're hearing yourself do it. And then you're forming this picture of who you really are, who the promises of God say you are. It's just so wonderful. We're making the workbook and CD called Confessing the Hebrew Scriptures available for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.